What do you know?
What do you know about Brian Haywood? Well, listen, and you'll know more.
This is Louisa Beale with Radio Tacoma, and I'm here with Calvin Jones, who is from Defend Washington. Hi, Calvin.
How's it going, Louisa?
It's going pretty good.
Wonderful.
So we're here to talk about some of the statewide initiatives coming up on the November ballot. And there's four of them, as I understand. There is 2117, which wants to repeal the Climate Commitment Act.
Mm.
There's 2124, which is about the long-term care initiative. And there is 2066, which is about the natural gas use in Washington. And then there's 2109, which is about the capital gains tax. So can you speak to these? I mean, what are they all about? Why are we all worried about it?
Yeah. So in order to talk about the initiatives, I think a helpful starting point is to talk about the money behind the initiatives. These initiatives started with a man named Brian Haywood, who lives in Redmond. He's a hedge fund manager, and he spent $6 million of his own money paying signature gatherers in more conservative areas of the state to get these four initiatives on the ballot in November. And fundamentally, these initiatives are meant to benefit Brian Haywood, his wealthy friends and corporations, get them a lower tax bill, and to shift that bill for important things like healthcare, environmental protections, and education funding onto the rest of us.
Oh, dear. I know. So, yeah, I don't have that much money myself. So one of the things I heard about Brian Haywood is that he's really a recent transplant to Washington.
Yeah.
Do you know about that history?
I don't know exactly when he moved, but he did move here from California to benefit from a lower tax environment. And his hedge fund, which is called Teo Pacific Partners, primarily invests in Asia. So I'm assuming he wanted to stay on the West Coast to get direct flights to where his investments are, but try and reap the benefits of an unfortunately regressive tax system in our state that doesn't ask a lot from Haywood and wealthy people like him.
Right. We could spend a whole hour on the regressive tax system.
Unfortunately, we could.
Yeah. Can you say a little bit more about each one of these initiatives and
why
they're important?
Yeah, they're all important, unfortunately, because they all represent a pretty devastating threat to important programs that protect Washington's environment, give us healthcare, and fund our schools. So I'll take them in the order that you talked about them. So the first initiative is Initiative 2117, which, as you mentioned, repeals something called the Climate Commitment Act. And the impact of this initiative would essentially be to allow our largest corporate polluters to pollute for free. The Climate Commitment Act is the state program that forces large polluters like Marathon Petroleum, like Shell Oil, like Chevron, to pay for the costs of the pollution that they create in our state. And so if we repeal this program, we're going to see two things. We're going to see those large polluters polluting more because they can do it for free. And we're also going to see devastating impacts to clean energy and transportation programs that Cap and Invest program raises.
Wow. So how can anyone be against the Climate Commitment Act?
There are people who don't really believe that we need to transition to a cleaner economy. They don't really see the impacts that it's creating for our state and for people across the world. And if you don't believe that those things are problems, then maybe you think that giving large oil companies a tax break becomes a good idea. But fundamentally, what Initiative 2117 is a tax break for large oil companies. And for me, that means that it's an easy no vote because these companies are causing harms to our society and that we need to clean them up, clean up those harms. And having the oil companies pay for the harms they create is the system that makes sense to me. And if Initiative 2117 passes, the bill for those harms will fall on the rest of us.
Mm. But we don't need that.
I hope not.
So two reasons to vote no, 2117.
Vote no to get less pollution and better funding for our clean energy and transportation programs.
Wow. Good. So what's next?
Sure. Next, we can talk about Initiative 2124, which has to do with the state's long-term care program. And so if we back up a little bit and talk about long-term care, long-term care is care for people that are getting older or maybe less abled in one way or another. And it's care that helps people stay in their homes and live independently and with dignity for longer. So Washington is a national leader on this issue and enacted a program called Washington Cares, which it currently covers 4 million Washingtonians with a $36,000 lifetime benefit to pay for things like a wheelchair if you're not able to walk as well as you used to, or maybe an accessible shower if you really like your home, but you're not able to use the bathrooms in the same way you've been able to in the past, or in-home care to keep you in your house with a little bit of help maybe once a week cooking and cleaning. And so Initiative 2124 is deceptively framed as an opt-in, opt-out for this program, but the actual impact would be to bankrupt Washington's long-term care program and take away long-term care benefits from 4 million people. We know that programs like Medicare, like Social Security, like Medicaid, these are not opt-in, opt-out programs. These programs, because they provide a broad public benefit, they need broad public participation in order to function. And Initiative 2124 would take away that broad public participation and send Washington's long-term care program towards bankruptcy and taking away those benefits from 4 million people. Now, one of the most devastating impacts of 2124 will be the harm that it causes to women disproportionately. We know that we live in a patriarchal society where it is the women who are expected to provide unpaid care for their friends and loved ones as they need it. And if we take away, with Initiative 2124, if we take away Washington Cares and 4 million people's long-term care benefits, it is the women in our society that are going to be left with the bill.
Oh, yeah. I kind of have personal experience with that with my mother and sister.
I'm sorry to hear.
Yeah. So the only reason to vote to opt out of this initiative would be if you have a lot of money and can pay for all this stuff yourself, then why should you help other people?
Yeah. You know, Brian Haywood, if he gets older and needs to buy a wheelchair, I'm confident that he'll be able to afford to pay for that wheelchair out of pocket. But the really sad phenomenon that's going right now all across the United States is that Medicaid only covers long-term care if you have $2,000 or less in total assets. And so we're seeing seniors all across the country impoverish themselves in order to become eligible for these long-term care benefits. And obviously this doesn't make sense. We can let people keep their assets. We can keep them in their homes for longer if we just help them out with, you know, maybe a ramp in their home or maybe just a little bit of in-home caregiving. And that's where people want to be as they get older. You know, some people will say that, oh, you know, this Washington Cares will only pay for 3 months in a nursing home. That's kind of not the point, not the sort of primary goal of Washington Cares, let's say. It's meant to keep people in their homes where they want to be, living with dignity for longer. And that's both a huge benefit for the beneficiaries because everyone wants to stay in their home. And it's also a huge benefit for the taxpayer. We save so much money if we can keep people out of more expensive nursing homes and keep them where they want to be. And so Washington Cares is a huge win-win that all goes down the drain if Initiative 2124 passes and bankrupts the program.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's sorely needed, that's for sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
So then what's next on the list?
Let's talk about Initiative 2109. I know listeners must be having trouble keeping up with all these numbers. So Initiative 2109 would repeal the state's capital gains tax. And the capital gains tax, the most important thing to remember is that last year it was paid for by fewer than 4,000 Washingtonians. So this is less than 0.2% of the population is paying this tax.
Now, wait. Okay, so you're talking about how many? 4,000 individuals that actually paid the tax?
If you had 100 people at a party, it is still statistically very unlikely that anyone at the party even paid a dime of this tax.
Whoa, okay. So again, it seems to me that only the rich people are saying, oh, we got to pass this.
You know, the capital gains tax isn't even a tax on millionaires. It is a tax on mega millionaires and billionaires. The way the tax works is that you need to make $250,000 in the profits in the sale of stocks and bonds in a single year.
Okay. Now this puts another little thing on there. Okay. So it's just the trade in the stocks and bonds. It's not how much you make.
Oh, yeah.
So I could make millions and millions of dollars and not pay this tax.
If your income is $50 million, you wouldn't pay a dime of this tax. If you sell your home for $1 million profit, you don't pay a dime because it excludes home sales. It excludes small business sales. It excludes retirement accounts. It excludes the ways that middle class people might make capital gains and is narrowly targeted at the very wealthiest people in our society so that they can pay their fair share towards early learning, public education, and childcare in the state.
I'm just wondering how these signature gatherers got people on the street going into grocery stores and stuff. How did they get them to sign on this thing?
I would say that Brian Haywood and his paid signature gatherers and the campaign at large use deceptive language to talk about all of these initiatives, but they are particularly deceptive when they talk about the capital gains tax. They call it an income tax. They call it, frame it as something that someone might pay eventually. But the capital gains tax, again, is only on capital gains and excludes those ways that middle-class people might make capital gains. And you need to make $250,000 of it in a single year in order to pay even your first penny of the tax. So I think a lot of signature gatherers were telling people things that weren't true in order to gather signatures. And it's unfortunate that you can spend so much money on state politics and deceptively tell people that you're doing something that you're not in order to get your favorite policy proposal that gives you a massive tax break on the ballot.
And I suppose, because I've seen the signature gatherers, you know, in various elections and run-ups and that sort of thing. And I see people, you know, coming up and the signature gatherer says, oh, sign this petition. You know, all we want to do is get it on the ballot. And they go, oh, yeah, okay, freedom, freedom. Yeah. But they don't read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I go up and I say, okay, so what's it about? And I get the little elevator pitch. And then I read it. And then I start asking questions. And they often just turn away from me. They try to grab the clipboard back and they start talking to somebody else. They don't want to answer questions about these things.
I think one of the saddest stories I heard was that there were Let's Go Washington signature gatherers at the Pride event in Seattle. And for those who don't know, Pride is a big celebration for the LGBTQ community. And Let's Go Washington, not 6 months previous, had passed one of the most, I would say the intent of one of the initiatives they were passing was deeply transphobic and trying to take away healthcare from people, from students in schools that might be wanting to talk about their counselor about certain things. And one of the initiatives, it went to the legislature and it was passed for reasons that I don't want to get into. But to see a group that was collecting signatures for initiatives that were, in my opinion, quite transphobic, then go on to collect signatures at Pride, was pretty upsetting.
You mean some of the participants at Pride were signing these initiatives?
The signature gatherers get paid per signature, and they're willing to say, you know, whatever it takes in order to get signatures. And, you know, I don't knock them. Everyone needs a job. Everyone's got to keep a roof over their head. But for me, it goes back to Haywood and the Let's Go Washington campaign using deceptive campaign tactics to get policies that benefit Haywood and his wealthy friends onto the ballot in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. I need to get my jaw off the floor.
And we still have one more initiative to go.
Oh, my God. Okay. Okay. Let's have it.
So the last initiative is Initiative 2066. And for those of you who have been following state politics for longer, you might not recognize this one because it's sort of a late-breaking initiative, so to speak. The origin of Initiative 2066 is that it comes from the Builders Industry Association of Washington, who saw what Haywood was doing and who wanted to continue to profit off of installing natural gas in new buildings. So they went up to Haywood. They said, hey, we'll pay $1 million on the signature gatherers. Will you accept this initiative under your Let's Go Washington umbrella? And Haywood said yes. So the impact of 2066 is to repeal smart planning laws that allow us to plan for the future more effectively and lower rates for everyone. The context here is that Initiative 2066 repeals a bill called House Bill 1589 that only the nerdiest state legislative listeners will recognize. But this bill allows for Puget Sound Energy to plan its investments in a more holistic way. And for those who don't know, Puget Sound Energy is the largest utility provider in Washington. And the Building Industry Association of Washington saw this going on, saw that they might potentially lose profits if Puget Sound Energy was able to have these new planning rules, and so paid their signature gatherers to get this initiative on the ballot. And similar to the others, it will benefit the Building Industry Association, and it will cost the rest of us. It will force Puget Sound Energy to keep more outdated infrastructure on the books and therefore have to pay the upkeep on that infrastructure and pass those costs on to ratepayers. And it will entrench us on a path towards using sort of older, outdated, dirtier fuels like methane gas and hamper our ability to transition to cleaner and cheaper fuels.
When I was looking it up on 2066, the thing that always kept cropping up was, oh, they want to ban natural gas. And it's like, really?
That's what they told all the signature gatherers told people when they were collecting signatures. But the reality is that state law, if you have gas in your home, state law protects your access to gas, and every utility in Washington is required to continue providing that access to gas. What 2066 does is take away tools for the state's largest utility, Puget Sound Energy, to plan its infrastructure for the future and keep rates lower. And so a yes vote for 2066 takes away those common sense planning laws, which will lead to higher rates for everyone.
So, okay, so let's recap. I know I'm confused, and so maybe our listeners are too. So here's a quiz.
Ooh.
Okay, are you ready?
I am.
Okay, 2117.
2117 repeals the Climate Commitment Act, increasing pollution across the state, and devastating funding for clean energy and transportation.
And how do we vote?
We vote no.
Yay. Okay, 2066.
2066 takes away common sense planning laws from our state's largest utility and drives up rates for everyone. We want to vote no on 2066.
No. Okay, 2124.
2124 dismantles Washington's long-term care program, stripping benefits away from 3.9 million Washingtonians. I think we should vote no on that one too.
Oh, I'm with you on that. No, no, no. And 2109.
2109 repeals the state's capital gains tax, which is a tax on the wealthiest 4,000 Washingtonians. That's 0.2% of the population. And cuts $2.2 billion from the state's early learning and public education budget over the next 5 years. That one's going to be a no for me as well.
Yeah, I'm not rich enough to vote for that one.
Anyone who is rich enough to pay the capital gains tax, they're doing just fine. But if only those people vote yes and the rest of us vote no, the initiative loses 99.8% to 0.2%.
So is there anything you want to add to this? I mean, this has been quite a brainful. I was going to say mouthful, but no, my brain is full.
There's a lot going on, and there's a lot of money and a lot of policies and a lot of numbers. Our campaign is asking people to vote no on all of these initiatives because fundamentally they benefit Brian Haywood, his wealthy friends and corporations, and they cost the rest of us. But I'll add that I think if even one of these initiatives gets through, that we will have signaled to Brian that next year he can spend $6 million more on his next initiative. And we've seen, you know, with these four initiatives, how he's willing to give himself and his wealthy friends a tax cut. And we've seen with other initiatives that, you know, he's trying to take his first nibbles at, enshrining transphobia into state law. And so I think we have to stop all of these initiatives because they're bad policy. But I think we also have to nip this whole process in the bud and tell Brian that, no, his money cannot buy him conservative policy wins that are out of step with the rest of Washington voters. Because unfortunately, I bet he's got $6 million more dollars to spend. And if we don't defeat these initiatives now, we're going to have to fight initiatives every single year until he runs out of money, which is could be a very long time from now. So we're hoping to get no votes on all of these and shut the door to policies that are fundamentally unfavorable for Washington voters because they have been electing Democratic legislatures in the state legislature and been making progress for 10 years. And these initiatives represent the will of our elected leaders that we voted into office. And the initiatives represent the sort of conservative agenda of the Republican Party that's been fundamentally unpopular. And these candidates that have been pushing this agenda have been losing races all over the state. So we need to stop these now because they're bad policy and because we need to close the door in the future to other big money grabs in our state's politics.
So how can people learn more?
I think one of the easiest ways to learn more would be to check out defendwashington.com. You can Google that. There's a dash in between Defend Washington. So that's defend-washington.com. On there, you'll see a Get Involved page. You can give us your email and start receiving emails from yours truly. We're also all over social media, and the individual No campaigns are running a lot of volunteer events, especially No on 2117. They have a really big field program. So if you follow any of their social media, you'll see opportunities to get involved. But we just finished leafleting over 80,000 doors about with information about the initiatives and are entering the final steps of our campaign. So we're going to be knocking on more doors and talking to voters and letting them know what's going on. And if you'd like to get involved, you can sign up on our website or follow us on social media as we broadcast more opportunities there.
Talking with people, because, you know, attention spans are pretty short these days.
I agree.
So what I would like to say, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that Initiative 2117 will cost you money. Initiative 2066 will cost you money. Initiative 2124 will cost you money. And 2109 will cost you money. Is that it in a nutshell?
I think that's fair. I think you're right to say that, you know, when we do our sort of message testing amongst voters, that we find most voters are confused by just the number of initiatives. And the most effective way to convince people to vote no is to talk about the initiatives as a group, talk about how they're from Brian Haywood, how he spent $6 million, how they benefit him and his wealthy friends, and how these initiatives, as you said, they shift the bill from Brian and wealthy people to the rest of us. Mm-hmm. They're going to cost us. And if you only have 30 seconds to talk about the initiatives with a friend before people want to move on to the next conversation, that's what you should say. These initiatives are from a wealthy hedge fund manager in Redmond. They represent his interests and his wealthy friend's interests and not ours.
Well said. Well, thank you so much. This has been quite enlightening.
It's been my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for hosting me. And for anyone listening, if you're interested in learning more about the initiatives, you can email me directly at calvin@fusewashington.org. I'd be happy to chat with you or your organization about the initiatives and how you can get involved.
Yeah. Because, you know, that election is coming right up.
It's scary to think about.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been really fun.
You can find out more about these four ballot initiatives at the website defend-washington.com or email our speaker at calvin@fusewashington.org. That's calvin@fusewashington, all spelled out, .org.
I am a voter.
I am a voter.
I will vote.
I will vote.
Even in an off year.